You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hey. Outrage meter low. I repeat, outrage meter low for this episode. Today we are talking about, have MSPs lost the public trust? And I know already some of you are saying, oh my God, Charles, why are you talking about stuff that is negative of MSPs, talks about MSPs in a bad light? I'm not talking about MSPs in a bad light. I like MSPs. I want MSPs to thrive. I believe MSPs are critically important to our global and national existence, commercially, as businesses, as organizations, as well as defenders of the cyber faith. Hopefully that wasn't too poetical, but yeah, I'm very pro MSP. If any of you who are new to this program or don't know me, there isn't a bigger champion of the MSP profession. All right. If you don't believe that, then I've got 22 years of a track record of having done this and being as big of a champion of the MSP profession as I can be. And it doesn't mean that MSPs are perfect, far from it. But I think this is a really important topic because I see it teased out there and I see it used by people in the channel. So it's, you know, it's not just me, folks. It's not just me. And these other articles are saying, you know, they're putting much more of a negative spin on it than I am, in my opinion, right? I'm seeing articles like, how can the MSPs gain back the trust of the customers? Of course, the insinuation is the MSPs have lost it. And so the title of our episode today is, have the MSPs actually lost the public trust? The answer I will give to you shortly. So first, we need to do a little look back in history to have a little perspective, like salt in a meal. Adds a little flavor. It helps. If you were looking back and going to conferences, listening to webinars, reading newsletters, going to websites, talking to your fellow MSP colleagues, anywhere in the mid 2005 to 2010, 2015 era, it was a high likelihood that you would have heard the phrase trusted advisor thrown around. I heard it. I know you guys have heard it. Those of you who were around in the industry back then, I know you heard it. It was used a lot. For those of you who are new, take it, just trust us. No pun intended. Trusted advisor was a commonly used phrase. Why was it used? It was used by MSPs to articulate the relationships that they had with their customers. It would go something like this. Well, our customers, you know, we are the trusted advisor for our clients. They trust us and we want to do right by them. And so that's why it's so important, blah, blah, blah. And then fill in the blank afterwards. And it was a preface to a statement that said, look, we, the MSP, are somewhat of a gateway to these customers. You want to get to that customer, you got to go through me. Now, if you don't understand the importance of that statement, you don't understand or appreciate the MSP ecosystem. And it's an important topic, and some of you may be saying, well, what's not to get? This is a pretty obvious statement. Yeah, it is. But if you are looking at what is being written today compared to that period that I just talked about, it would make you wonder, did something change? Because I heard a lot of MSPs, and they weren't all in the United States. They weren't all in one state in the United States. They were in Canada. They were in Western Europe. They were in Australia. They were in Brazil. They were in the Middle East. They were in South Africa. They were all over the place. Same industry, all using the same phrase. We are a trusted advisor to our customers. They believe in us. They trust us to do the right thing. Has that changed? I don't think it has. And I'm going to give you my reasoning for that. I'm going to give you some hopefully well-constructed arguments of why I don't think that that has changed. And some of these arguments are going to involve very familiar themes to some of you. To others, it may be completely new. So I'm going to go through them real quickly. The trusted advisor role of the MSP has not largely changed since 30 years ago when the first MSPs, you know, emerged and started to do their thing. To today, it's largely the same thing, meaning that the MSP / trusted advisor relationship has not been displaced by something else. All right, that's very important, right? The because you might be thinking, well, if the trusted advisor status with, you know, has been removed, has it been replaced by something, by someone else, some other entity? The answer is no, unequivocally no. MSPs still are the trusted advisors to their customers. Their customers have nobody else capable of delivering an impartial perspective of what should be done to help that customer do what they need to do using technology. There's nobody else. There's nobody else better suited. There's nobody else better qualified than the MSP to occupy the trusted advisor position. Even if you're an organization that has a CTO, a VP of IT, a VP of technology, a CISO, or whatever other designation you may have, even those organizations still have very trusted advisor relationships with different MSPs that they rely on to help them out. And it's been that way, and I think it will continue to be that way for a long time. So what has changed? Has there been a change from, let's say, that 2005 to 2010 period to today? Yeah. Yeah, there obviously there has. What has changed? Well, the level of threats, the amount of attacks on the customers has undoubtedly increased. And that brings with it a whole host of challenges. It brings up questions of, my God, what is this real? Yes, it's real. Is the thing that you are MSP, the stuff that you've been saying all these years, is this what you were talking about? Yes, it is. This is what we were warning you about. This is why we've been urging you to do these things, because it will protect you. Do you see now? Yeah, we see now. Like, you were right. I think there's a lot of that has happened over the last 5 years. I really do. Especially in the last couple of years since the pandemic, when not only was the remote work transition that happened globally, that happened largely on the backs and because of the MSP community, but also the rapid increase and rise of cyber attacks, data breaches, data theft, as a result of, or at least accompanying the pandemic, there was nobody else other than the MSP to help protect. Now, clearly there were, you know, to borrow a sports phrase, there were not only shots on goal, but there are lots of goals, right? An increase of goals, right? Definitely shots are getting past the goalie. And maybe that's not a fair analogy. They're shooting the ball from, or the puck from behind the net, right? Completely unfair, but hey, that's what they're doing. The goal is completely exposed in some cases, despite the best efforts of the MSP to say to the customer, hey, you got to really put some net up here. You got to put, like, you know, not one goalie, but five goalies here. And, you know, that's been a really challenging uphill battle for a lot of MSPs because the customers just have not, they've not done what they need to do. And I'm sorry to say it, but that's probably a very large contributing factor to why you have so many successful breaches. The attempts, the shots on goal, the attempted cyber breaches were always going to happen. But the actual breaches, the actual theft, the compromises that did happen were completely preventable. Had the trusted advisor been listened to all those years ago. But why is it happening? And why are there articles being written that say that you, the MSP, need to regain the public trust? Well, I have a theory on that, and I'm going to give it to you right now. My theory is these are not actual MSPs that are losing the trust. They're something else. They are value-added resellers. They are break-fix companies. They are IT consulting firms. They are web hosting companies. There's a great variety of IT company. There are non-IT companies that are perfectly capable of saying, oh yeah, I'm an MSP. Do you want me to give you an example of what one of those companies would be called? They're called accounting firms. They're called office copier companies. They're called, I've seen some law firms get into this space. Accountants, office copier, office equipment firms are two very large, very global business models that have in recent years, let's say the last decade or so, begun a rapid conversion into managed services. And some of them have actually done it through acquisition, some better than others. Others have just done it through just organically. And there's a lot of variance in how some of these organizations operate as MSPs. Right? I'm talking about as MSPs, right? And but they're all calling themselves MSPs. They're all saying, we are a provider of managed IT services. And so anytime you have an unrestricted, low barrier to entry into a profession, you are going to have this issue. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on the licensure model argument because I've spoken about it a lot. I don't want to talk about it right now because I think it's I don't have enough time for it. But the point is that we do have a low barrier to entry. And I think it's good that we have a low barrier of entry because we need the people. We need the talent. We need the MSPs to be greater than it is because we need the help. the current number of MSPs doing what they're doing at the level that they're performing is not enough. But we also need a faster time to maturity than we've seen before. Like, we do not have the luxury of the early 2000s when I remember calling a lot of value-added resellers and saying, I was calling to get them to join MSP Alliance, but I would have so many conversations that went like this. Hey, I'm calling from MSP Alliance. Are you guys delivering managed services? And the response would be something like, you know, yeah, I've thought about that. I've read some articles online, and I don't really know if that's the business model that we want to be in. You know, we're pretty happy doing what we're doing. And yeah, we've got beaten up the last couple of years. The .com, you know, thing was a nasty mess, and you know, the Y2K didn't help us, and you know, 9/11 and all these things were just like all bad things that were happening to their value-added reseller business or their break-fix business model. And yet the vast majority of them would say something completely defensive like, yeah, but we're going to hold out. We're going to see, you know, we're just not really sure if this managed services thing is going to last. That was very, very common back then. Today, obviously, it's very different. But back then, as you started to overcome that sentiment of, yeah, that's a wait and see type of approach to, oh my God, the VAR break fix business model might actually be ending. This track might have an end up front, and not only an end, the track is ending and there's a big cliff at the end of it. Oh my God, we have to get off this track and get onto the other one. And there started to be a real panic. And over a series of years, that shift of the break, fix, reactive VAR business model to proactive managed services began to occur. But it happened too slowly. And there's a lot of reasons why it happened. We didn't have standards, you know, until 2004 when the MSP Verify standard came out. We didn't have a lot of knowledge about how to do this. I mean, we were literally writing the book as we went along. We were going to conferences. We were sharing experiences. We were making this. We were literally in the wild wilderness with no trail ahead of us, trying to figure out which path to go and not get eaten up by the elements and, you know, abandoned and left for dead. And I don't say this a lot, I don't say it enough, but there's a lot that should be said to those early MSP pioneers who did some amazing things. In retrospect, they were just running their businesses. But they did some things that today could be considered really novel and innovative simply because they had nobody from which to base that decision on. They made a decision in the dark, completely in the blind, and maybe they had some peers that they said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Have you ever heard of that? No, I've never heard of that before, but you let me know how that goes. And then the other person would say, well, I'm going to do this. And the other guy would say, well, let me know how that goes, and we'll compare notes if one of us is still around. That was how we figured out good ideas from bad ideas in those early days. But while we were going through that, the public trust was always maintained. The customers, and this is an interesting story and an important thing to note, is that in the early days, it was very common to hear the CEO or the technology leadership say something to the following. You know,
we used to be kind of resistant to managed services, but you know, we're getting a lot of our customers ask us for this. We're getting our customers saying, hey, I don't just want to buy this server from you anymore. Can you manage it for me? And then that soon evolved into, I'm not going to buy that server from you unless you can manage it for me. If you can't do that, I'm going to go to this other outfit and they're going to sell it to me and manage it all in one. And then that evolved into hosting it and, you know, all in cloud. But you see, the managed services profession evolved more slowly than it should have. It was in part driven by customer demand. It still is driven by customer demand. The trust that the MSPs have received has never gone away, but the new entrants into the MSP profession are always a challenge because it does have the potential to not erode, dilute the ability of the customer to say, who are you? Are you one of the new MSPs or are you how long have you been around? Right? It is basically where that stands because customers now aren't looking at managed services as some new concept, something that they've never tried before. Most customers have had like multiple MSP relationships, like a lot in some cases. So the customers are becoming quite astute when it comes to knowing instinctively, are you a good MSP or a bad MSP? Not to sound like the Wizard of Oz, but you know. They just know. And unfortunately, they know after they've had they've had some experience, some interaction with that company. And then they could say, well, you know, you thought you were a good MSP, but you really weren't. Or no, you're doing some really cool stuff for us. You're doing exactly what we hoped you would do. So the MSPs know. And I, the customers of MSPs also know. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. They know what's good. They know what generates trust and fidelity. And they know what erodes it. And I think that the emergence of so many new, and you can trace it back to the born in the cloud era, like that 2009, 2010 period where we had a global financial episode that triggered a really massive shift, a technological shift from on-premise to quote-unquote cloud. And it brought in a new strain of provider. People who had never been in the managed services space before suddenly were there. And they were slinging what was then called cloud, but today we might call it SaaS. And the same thing is happening today. You're having a completely new, born in the cyber world element of companies and individuals who are saying, this is the gold rush. I got to get in on this. This is too good to be left out and too good to be ignored. And they're rushing in and they're saying, yeah, I'm an MSP. Sure. Yeah. That's me. And invariably that's going to cause a problem. So you may be asking, well, Charles, how's that answer our question? Did we lose the public trust? No, I don't think we did. But I think we need to protect the public trust. I think we need to protect the trusted advisor status that we have. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. And maybe that's one of the kind of subtle differences of the last 10, 15 years is that the trusted advisor status that the MSPs had 10, 15 years ago
didn't ever need to be exercised. It never needed to be protected against because it was never threatened. The difference is today it is being threatened. I don't think it's being lost. I think it's being challenged by people who are not MSPs, have probably no business calling themselves an MSP. Yeah, I know I said there was a no barrier to entry. But, you know, that doesn't mean that that companies are deserving to call themselves something if they don't actually do it well. And there's a lot that we as an industry need to do. Standards exist. There are accepted, known standards of behavior, of operational behavior, security measures that need to be taken. There's a known baseline. And those of you in the MSP Verify program, you know that baseline. And your customers who read every year your MSP Verify report, they know that the trusted relationship, trusted advisor status with their MSP is intact because the MSP proves it to them every single year. And that's not the only way to do it. There are other ways that need to be employed. But that, in my estimation, is the reason why you have a greater challenge to the legacy trusted advisor relationship that MSPs have traditionally enjoyed for many, many years. There are new players coming in every day saying, well, why don't you trust me? And I'm not sure they deserve trust. I'm not saying that they can't earn it, but they can't just waltz in and say, I can do things however I feel like it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to call myself an MSP. And if I get breached or if I get my customers breached, oh, well, I'll go in and do something else. Drive Uber. That's not going to cut it. Because there are real professional MSPs out there who know what they're doing. They do it well. They're not perfect, but they do a really damn good job. Every single day, they care and they always strive to be better. Those are the trusted advisors. You can trust them. You should trust them. You should do more trusting of them because honestly, if the trusted advisor MSPs had been listened to for the last 10, 15 years, we might actually have far fewer data breaches than we do today. Chew on that for a while later on. But yeah, we've got some issues that we have to deal with as a profession. And look, we're trying. You know, we at the MSP Alliance are really trying hard to come up with effective solutions. You know, we've got insurance, we've got the MSP Verify, we've got Cyber Verify, we've got you know, active ongoing education and training. You know, we've got MSP World coming up next month. We do a lot, and, you know, we really try to give the professional grade trusted advisor MSP community a lot to use and to take back and leverage in their MSP practice. And it's always a constant sharpening of the blade. Right? Because it's not the type of thing where you just let it go because the blade gets dull. If you don't sharpen it, if you don't train, if you don't learn, if you don't educate yourself and your team constantly, your blade will dull. It will become ineffective for what it's designed to do. And yeah, that will then lead to an erosion of that trusted advisor status. But I think the core MSPs don't have that problem. I really don't genuinely believe that. I mean, because I'm listening to those MSPs, and they're having more business than they've ever had before. So that I'm just not buying it. I think that there's a secondary element of probably newer entrants into the MSP market who have not yet understood that there's an expectation from them
of their behavior, of what they should be doing, how they should be doing it. Not trying to be dictatorial here, but we're saying, look, the lack of licensure comes with a very deep responsibility, and that is you need to demonstrate transparency, security, best practices, and you need to be able to show it. You can't just say, yeah, I do it. You know, go look at my website, says I do it. No, you need to prove it. You need to actively exercise it every day with your organization. And in doing that, your trusted advisor status will be unquestioned. It will remain sharp. It will remain effective and intact. And that's my thought. If you have a comment, let me know. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.